Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the HTXT AfriCast. This is kind of a special edition because we're in a new office.
It's not really a special edition. It's just maybe every single podcast will be this special going forward. How do you think about that?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe if you guys put in more effort, it would be special. But
you sound like management.
Yeah, you guys won't see it. Oh, you won't see anything because this is audio only, but you guys won't tell unless there's a big problem with the audio, and then we'll never hear the end of it. Joining me today is Nick.
Hello.
And Brendan.
Hello.
And it's been, I don't know, it hasn't been that eventful of a week.
I don't know. I've spent a lot of time swearing at my television set.
Why?
Because I've been playing Cuphead. Although, I mean, I I think that I, you know, like you, there are certain like levels in life when you realize you've reached a certain level of maturity and you're like, okay, well, if I was younger, I would have done this, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I have not broken my Xbox 360 controller.
Yet.
Every
no, I don't think it's going to happen. I broke two playing Ninja Gaiden 2 and I've broken one playing Dark Souls, but I think I'm okay.
I think I'll be okay this time.
The neighbors probably think that I'm killing people.
That's fine as long as you don't break a controller who cares about.
Yeah.
This is very interesting to me because Cuphead, to me, looks like a game for kids. Okay.
Well, no,
like, I'm talking purely about the aesthetic.
Really hardcore kids.
Yeah, really hardcore kids, maybe.
To tell you the truth, I mean, I think that that is something an old man would say. And the reason I say this is because...
Damn.
No, the reason I'd say
He's figured me out.
No, the reason I'd say this is because, like, you go, oh, it's really hard. How could it be for kids? And then you go, oh, I played StarCraft 2 the other day. That handed me my ass.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Even though, like, when you played it as a kid...
Yeah.
You kicked its ass.
Yeah.
So maybe it is for kids.
And kids are just better gamers than all the reviewers out there.
Or, well, certainly Dean Takahashi. But yeah, no, we shouldn't jump on that guy. No. I have the most immense respect for Dean. And to be quite frank, I think that the grief he got fumbling through Cuphead's tutorial was like, just leave him alone. But anyway, so Cuphead, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Cuphead is a side-scrolling run and gun, I think would be the best way to describe it, with platforming elephants. There might be. I haven't gotten to level 3 yet.
There actually is a game called Tembo the Badass Elephant that is a run and gun with elephants.
So it's a run and gun with platform elements in which you play Cuphead. And if there's someone playing along with you, they're playing Mugman.
I love that name.
And what happens is that the pair of you go to a casino in the beginning and you win a lot of money. And then the devil asks you, would you like to gamble your souls? And because you're a pair of cupheads, make of that what you will. You gamble your souls. And in order to win back your souls, you have to hunt down and get back the souls that the devil has lost in the world around you. And that is what we laughingly call the plot, but it's just really an excuse to hang a string of boss battles off. I mean, if you've ever seen anything about Cuphead, you know that it is a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah.
I mean, the artistic aesthetic is Tex Avery cartoons, 1940s cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, it was quite obvious that people who, well, maybe not obvious, but, you know, I would suspect that there were more than a few psychedelics flying around the studios of the different companies that were making these cartoons. That has a really, really nice effect on a lot of the creatures and a lot of the bosses you meet, because they have that kind of rubbery, childlike quality to them, but their faces are just these rictuses of evil. You know what I mean?
Okay. Especially when Nick mentioned the devil, it is the literal Satan devil. Mm. It's not just a bad guy.
And so that's basically that's the setup. And so you wander into this world. And you literally run through a series of boss battles. I mean, they're intercut with there are levels which are just your traditional run and gun, it'll be like a kind of Tex Avery version of Mega Man where you're running around. And in those levels, you collect coins, and the coins you can use to unlock different attacks at the shop. But the meat of the matter are the boss battles, and the boss battles are just. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, imagination like this thrown into a game in a while. I also haven't seen control breaking difficulty thrown into a game of this nature for a while.
Some people say it's like a Contra game, and it really is in that level of difficulty.
Well, you see, the thing is, the way that, and like I said, I'm halfway through the second level. The review will be coming tomorrow. Well, I say tomorrow. It'll be coming when this podcast goes live. But the pattern seems to be, you start the level, the boss will throw a series of attacks at you. Mm-hmm. You will then deal with those attacks, or you'll die, in which case you come back and you're like, right, I know what he's going to do now. Then he'll start throw a series of attacks at you. Then he will change it up. He or she will change it up. They'll do something else, another new attack. And you'll either survive that or die again. But like once you come back, you'll go, all right, now I know this is going to happen at this point, and at this point, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you reach a sort of event horizon area, and sometimes it takes four different stages to get there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes three, sometimes it takes five. And then they turn into the most uber-bastard version of themselves, and it's like, okay, no more screwing around. The best way I could describe the experience of playing Cuphead is, do you remember Captain America Civil War?
Yes.
Right. Do you remember the fight at the airport?
Yes, right. That was in all the trailers.
Right,
yes.
And do you remember the bit where Ant-Man comes up to Captain America with what looks like a toy car and a little blue disc?
Yeah.
And he throws the disc and goes, throw the truck at that.
Yeah.
And the truck turns into this massive, huge truck. And just before it lands on War Machine, he goes, oh, come on! That's what playing Cuphead is like.
Yeah, I can see exactly what you mean. I've been seeing a few people play it who I follow, and it looks ridiculous in a good way.
I watched a live stream on Twitch at the weekend of somebody playing it, and I actually felt bad watching. I felt like I was watching like torture porn. Mm. Like the way that the chat
Without
was going
off.
Yeah. It was just torture. And the way the guy's viewers were going off in chat every time he died, like I felt really sorry for him. But Kappa. At the same time, it was his. Yeah, lots of Kappas.
Lots of what?
Kappa. KPPA. It's a Twitch. Twitch term.
I'm not hip and down with the kids. You have to explain this to me,
obviously,
please.
Not.
Well,
it's like a joke. It's like a...
It's a word that doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah, it's just
is
a
it like
phrase that's
good
used.
Or some stuff like that?
Not really. It's more just like whenever somebody does something stupid in Twitch, you just have lots of Kappas coming out.
Okay.
Or they do something good.
Well, I would put it to all those Kappa slappers that perhaps they need to like play this game themselves, because it is rock hard. Like
no, it looks really difficult.
I played that last year at Rage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I played it, I thought, this has to be the alpha or the beta. And it can't be this bad when it comes out. And now it's out and it's
no, it's really hardcore. And when I say it's really hardcore, it's just it's really, really hard.
Is it fun to play, though?
You see, this is the weird thing, is that, like... there have been moments where I've just gone, I've got to step away from this. I've got to step away from this because I am going to turn it off and then come back. And you go, but I want to see what happens next. And, you know, not in the plot, obviously, but I want to see what weird and wonderful creature
they come up with next.
Is coming up with next. And there are some times where you are playing a level, say, for example, for the first time, and then something happens. And you literally go, oh, come on, this is BS. I mean, this is BS. Come on.
You know? You've pushed me too far, Cuphead.
But I'll tell you something. Like, here's a weird thing that happened to me while you're playing Cuphead, while I was playing Cuphead, which is you find yourself, like, you know, you know like how in Dark Souls you learn the rhythm of an opponent, or, you know, like, this feint is going to lead to that attack.
Yeah, yeah,
once
yeah.
you get to that stage to do this. The same thing happens in Cuphead. Like, you can't beat it based on learning just patterns and the movement of pixels, because occasionally it'll throw you a curveball, or there'll be some element in the level that, you know, you can't plan for.
Yeah.
I'll give an example. There's one boss which is a flower, and, you know, it shoots a bunch of seeds into the air, and the seeds land. And so obviously you don't know which seeds are going to land where. From their colors, you can tell what they're going to do. And when they grow and they turn into the little beasties that they are, you can kind of know how they're going to move towards you, but you can't actually plan for where they're going to land,
yeah.
how many of the certain type they're going to be. So there are those variables in each level that you can't plan for.
Yeah. Like, you know, the boss is going to do this thing, but how that plays out is completely random.
Well, they also mix it up because I was watching the one fight where it's a castle made out of cake.
Madame Bonbon.
Yeah, so the theme of the level is candy and everything. And the boss itself has like 5 different mini bosses, and you need to kill 3 of them, but it will give you a different 3 every time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
So it's not the same every time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that like I'm currently playing Madame Bonbon at the moment, and I can tell you, like, you know, after a while of playing it, you're like, just don't send out the gumball. Don't send out the jawbreaker. Don't send out the jawbreaker. Because this jawbreaker comes out with this, like, you know, it looks like a Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And it's got a little jawbreaker behind it. So it follows you around the actual sort of area you're in. And, you know, if you jump up, it goes up a little bit and then comes down. So you're not having to aim and plan attacks and plan jumps before and behind it. And if you are going to get the jawbreaker first, you hope that it, so if you are going to get the jawbreaker in the level, you hope that it's the first one, because after you kill the first like minion on that level, a little jelly bean with a sword starts running out every like 20 seconds or something.
Yeah.
All right. And that makes timing the rest of those bosses
a lot easier.
Another big chore, because, you know, an enemy you could defeat when there was nothing else on the screen that you had to worry about has now got this extra thing thrown into it that you have to be aware of. And you only get 3 hits. Like, 3 hits, you're out.
Well,
that's it.
You can get upgrades, right?
Yeah, you can, but then they make your weapons weaker. Mm, so the whole thing takes even longer. And, I mean, like, in that level you're talking about,
I'm getting a headache just listening to you describe this game.
In that level you're talking about, Madame Bonbon, right? So you get, but here's the other thing, is that, like, after a while you start to learn these bosses and their movements so well that you actually start to hope, oh goodness, I hope I get this one. For example, there's like one boss there that's a waffle that flies around and then occasionally splits its segments off into all parts of the screen, and that's not too bad. But then there's this guy who runs out, who essentially is a walking gumball machine, and he shoots gumballs out of his head, and I have killed that guy so easily, so many times. When I see him, it's like an old friend. It's like, oh, this is the part of the level that's a gimme.
Yeah,
because he's gone, and I won't lose any health at all. You know, there's a sweet tooth sweet that is horrible, and it moves in a weird sort of rhythm. And then there's a guy who looks like a cake who tries to splat you. But that's all just a teaser leading up to the final thing, where once you've killed all these minions, like, the castle of cake grows arms and starts coming after you, while this woman at the top throws her head at you, and then these huge sort of peppermint wheels come flying out at you, and at that point you are kind of like War Machine going, oh, come on! You know? So, yeah, but no, I tell
it
you what.
It sounds great, though. I mean, it is. It sounds really great.
I would unreservedly recommend it.
It's 220 Rand locally, $20. Or is it 20? I think it's actually 15 overseas. Yeah.
But, like, seriously, it's one of those rare Xbox One exclusives that PlayStation owners should feel jealous of. I mean, if you got it on PC.
Well, yeah, it's a Microsoft exclusive.
It's a Microsoft exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a console, though. It's like, you know, if you own a PS4. Get a PC. But, you know, I really enjoy it. It's kind of like masochistic. You do sit there at some point going, I spent 3 hours on this. Fighting the same 2 frogs that turn into a goddamn slot machine. What am I doing with my life?
That's a strange fight.
But you don't hate yourself afterwards.
No. Once you get through it, you're like, damn, I'm bad. Because I, you know, I don't. And this is the other thing. And this, I love this. Because, like, you're told, oh, you can play it on regular, we can play it on simple. Okay? I was like, oh, that's nice. Then the simple levels are just like, they're a little bit more easy, you know, cool. And then, like, you finish a simple level and the devil pitches up going, if you expect to get to the next level like that, forget it. I don't accept any souls unless you beat them on regular. So it's like, yeah, I will close off the rest of the game until you have earned it, sort of thing.
Gee.
Yeah. I love games that have the actual devil as the final boss. The last one I remember doing that was Broforce.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, you get to urinate on the devil's tombstone. That's how that local game ends.
The last one I remember was Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was...
what I'd like to call it was EA's God of War in Hell.
Don't talk bad about it. There's legion of fans.
I thought that Dante's Inferno was very, very good, but I also thought that it was an unashamed clone of God of War. In much the same way, the first Saints Row was an unashamed clone of Grand Theft Auto 3.
Man.
That doesn't make it a bad game.
Yeah, no. We could get into the conversation about Fortnite and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, also about quote-unquote copying, but we won't get into that. We'll have Nick's review up soon.
Yeah.
And Brendan, it is your turn next.
Yes, it's you've been hanging around with a rather swanky piece of hardware there.
You make it sound like
you've been sitting
man
there,
of the lights.
You've been sitting there in the gentleman's club with your BlackBerry going, well, I'm really important.
I don't think I've ever been into a gentleman's club, just for the record. but yes, I have been spending time with the BlackBerry Key 1.
Which, when I saw it at the launch, I thought it looks really, really swish.
Yeah, it is a bit chunky. That was the first thing that a lot of people said to me was like, oh, it's so thick. And I was like, I don't really think so.
When you say people, don't you mean Clinton?
Well, Clinton mentioned it.
When I saw it, I was actually a little bit taken aback because I have the Xiaomi. And in South Africa, Xiaomi only sells one cover for it, which is a really rugged cover that looks like a tire tread. And it makes the phone really thick. And
like
then I saw
times
that.
As thick.
Yeah, I saw that and it was even thicker and I was
It really
floored.
Wasn't. Clinton is embellishing. No. Yeah. It was
okay,
not that big.
Okay, you keep talking about it. I want to look up the specs, how thick it is.
Anyway, so it is quite chunky, as Clinton and a few of my mates did point out. But I never felt like it was cumbersome, though. Like, it was a big phone, but it wasn't too big. It fitted in my hand as big as a 5-inch phone does.
It carries its weight well.
Yes. It carries it on the hips.
It doesn't feel unwieldy. Hang on.
Thanks, Nick. Sorry,
a friend of mine ringing up. She's a fan. She wanted to know if the podcast was out today or tomorrow.
She was very worried about it going out.
Tomorrow, like it is every single week. Anyway.
So, yes. We just descended into madness. So, BlackBerry Key 1, it carries its weight quite well. It has an always visible QWERTY keyboard, unlike the Priv, which had a slide out keyboard.
Now, when you say always visible, it's a real keyboard.
It's a real keyboard. Not a virtual keyboard. Okay. It's a hard button keyboard.
Yeah.
Is it a mechanical keyboard?
No, it is not mechanical, Clinton.
Just stop messing
Why?
About.
Why?
I think you can fit about four
the
mechanical
The world's
switches.
First mechanical keyboard
it will
on
be,
a phone.
I never
can we actually get back to this phone? Because
No,
phone
I want to know about that.
Good. Yeah.
So, okay, so the Key 1. So the first thing I thought when I opened this phone's box, which was really nice, looks like carbon fiber everywhere, is that it was made for business. And that is true to an extent. I mean, I don't see a lot of the Instagram crowd now ditching their iPhones or Samsungs or whatever they're using nowadays.
But you do see a lot of smug executives.
Yeah, right. in place of BlackBerry. But like I say, I do see this being used by executives because it looks really nice on your desk. Beyond that, I mean, like, one of the things that I loved about this was how easy it is to use with the keyboard. Like, for instance, I would get emails on my desktop and I would be in the middle of typing an email to a response to somebody and I'd get another email. I just open up my BlackBerry and respond there. And usually what I would do is wait until my one email is done and move on to the next. But the BlackBerry really allowed me to kind of it was nice to be able to use a phone for business purposes. I mean, typing out emails is one thing. Checking up looking at spreadsheets, browsing the web. All these things are just so much easier with a physical keyboard. I know a lot of people aren't going to like it, but I think it's if you're working a lot throughout the day, this Key 1 is a really great multi-function
What's
tool.
The battery life like?
The battery life is insane.
Really?
I would
insane
run it
insane good or insane?
Insane good.
Okay.
I would run it for about 2 days without a charge.
Wow.
And then it would get me through the night, and I would only need to charge it the next morning. So about two and a half days roundabout.
Okay.
But like in my review, which we'll link to at the bottom here, we attended, I mentioned a story about when we attended LeaderX.
Yeah.
When I arrived at LeaderX on that Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I only had about 50% of battery left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was sipping battery from my notebook now and then, but not a lot to actually charge the handset.
Mm.
And that battery literally died at 7 p.m. that night.
Wow.
On a 50% charge.
On a day when you were actually using it as a
hotspot. Using it a lot. I was using it as a hotspot. I was using it to take photos. Wow. I was making calls with it, sending text messages. It is insanely good battery life.
3,505 milliamp hour.
So what's under the hood?
So underneath the hood, you've got very mid-range specs. So you've got a Snapdragon 625 chipset,
mm-hmm.
And you have 3 gigs of RAM. You have 32 gigs of storage space, which you can increase with a micro SD card.
Mm.
It's really, really mid-range specs, but it's like at the top end of the mid-range. Mm. And it's only a 9,400 and something Rand phone.
Mm.
So it's really, really good value for money.
Mm.
Another thing that I was really impressed with was the camera, because this being so focused on business, the keyboard, the battery life, I wasn't really expecting much from the camera. But at the back, there's a 12-megapixel camera.
Mm.
At the back, there's an 8-megapixel camera. And the photos that you get are really, really good.
Mm.
Look, you're not going to get like DSLR footage, but for a phone that's so focused on being good at business, I was really impressed. Now,
when you
with
say
the camera.
Being good at business, are you talking about apps that, like, you know, deal with spreadsheets?
Yeah, yeah. So you're looking at things like Sheets, you're looking at word processing, web browsing, those sorts of things. And I mentioned in my review that when we benchmarked those applications, the Key One did a lot better in those work suite applications, as it were, than it did with things like gaming.
Mm.
That's not to say that it's not good at gaming. The screen is really pretty. Mm. It's bright, the colors are true to life, blacks are incredibly deep.
Mm.
It's a really well made phone.
Mm.
And for 9,400 Rand, it's hard not to look away from
now,
it.
You go.
Let me just ask you, that price sounds extremely close to the last phone you talked about, which was the new Nokia, right?
Yeah.
Those are both 10 grand phones.
Under 10 grand.
So maybe at the end of the thing you wanna like compare them?
Yeah. Okay. I will definitely. Once I've got my review of the
because it's just strange.
You can now do the Nokia review, can't you?
Yes, I can.
Because you've got the handset now.
I do have the handset,
because the handset's finally been brought round to you, hasn't it?
It has, indeed.
You got it with enough time to do a review. Hey.
Yeah.
I wonder why that didn't happen in the first place. Anyway.
The other thing that I want to mention, sorry, just before we move on, is BlackBerry's DTEC software, which is their security software.
Oh, yes, this is what I was about to ask you, because one of the silver bullets that kind of kept BlackBerry in the game, even when everyone was jumping to iPhone and Samsung and stuff like that, was the fact that it's one of the most secure devices out there. I mean, that's one of the reasons that Barack Obama and
presidents
before this one stayed on their BlackBerries rather than, like, you know.
So
how's it on Twitter? You get on Twitter?
Please, no, Nick. I don't want to be drafted. Please.
The DTEC software is it's basically BlackBerry's own security software that they've developed. So the Key One is running Android 7.0 at the moment.
Right.
And there are plans to upgrade it to Oreo, which is Android 8.0, I believe.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
You want to get these details right.
Otherwise,
you don't want another comment underneath this.
The DTEC software comes equipped on your BlackBerry, and it's really nice because what it does is it guides you through making your phone secure.
Right.
So it'll tell you, okay, you need to link a Google account to your phone, you need to set up this, you should run scans, you should have this software running in the background, you should encrypt your phone, you should set a passkey, you should set a fingerprints identification.
Is all this stuff built in? Or
Yes, this is all built into the phone.
Because like most like, and this is something that I found out with, earlier this year we had a chat on the internet of things, and one of the experts at this panel discussion said, how many of you people actually have antivirus software on your smartphone?
Yeah,
and no one in the room said anything, and he was like, "That's interesting." Whereas this actually comes with its own
loaded
security systems built in.
And what's really great is that it encrypts everything out of the box. So the moment you start using it, it encrypts your storage.
Sorry, I just had this vision of you saying, "I am Brendan Lutz." No, you're not. What? You're now lots Brendan.
So, but what I love about it is that it's always there in the background. It doesn't impact your performance at all. It doesn't chow battery life. It's just sitting there in the background, working, doing its job. And that's really great because, like, phones, as you say, nobody has an antivirus installed on their computer. And we are running around with basically computers in our pockets with all of our most sensitive information. I mean, right now I have banking apps installed. I have all my contacts in the world.
His password is Brendan Lost.
That is really not my password. And if anybody starts trying to hack into my stuff, I will hunt you down.
It's Hunter 2.
Hunter 2. So yeah, and when you reset the phone, you have to put in a passcode that you set up when you set up the phone before it even starts to load Android. So if you can't even get through that step, your phone's pretty safe. It's a really, really nice little solution that's sitting there in the background. By all means, you can go and install another application if you want.
Now,
yes,
big question.
Yeah,
because this does sound like a very sleek, very professional, very comfortable, very powerful, and very, very well put together piece of kit.
Yeah.
BlackBerry needs a hit. Is this going to be one?
Or
is there too much ground that they've lost against the iPhones and the Samsungs? And
so, okay, so what I think, this is a very good phone. Let me get that out of the way straight away. I honestly, like, it's one of the best phones I've used this year. Okay. And the only thing that is kind of touting that space is the Nokia 8 at the moment. But the key one is a really genuinely good phone. I can, however, see that a lot of people won't like the fact that it has a keyboard, that it doesn't have a dual lens camera, that it doesn't have 240 frames per second slow motion. But I think that this is a really good phone for a business person, especially when you have people like Huawei and Samsung coming out with these huge phones that are said to be for the business professional. Like, you have the Note 8, which is supposed to be like, oh, it's business phone. The Mate 9, business phone. Like, all of these things are looked at, are kind of geared towards business people. But I've never felt looking at them like, you look at these big phones and you go, oh, yeah, okay, I can see a business person using this. It's big. It's easier to work on. But I don't foresee a business person going and specifically buying this phone. Whereas this, I look at it and go, okay, well, this is a phone that a business person would use. This is a phone that I could see a big conglomerate, like, let's just pick one out of the air, ABSA.
It's the sort of phone Elon Musk would use.
Or I wonder what phone someone Elon trying Musk to does be use.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's like, I look at a big enterprise like ABSA, let's say.
Yeah.
And they want to give all of their employees smartphones. And for the longest time, they did use BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I think a lot of corporations did, to be honest. And they kind of moved away because it was stupid. They were terrible phones. This, however, is a really good phone that's running an operating system that most people are familiar with. And it's powerful. It's great for business. It's such a good phone. I'm horribly impressed. I was not expecting to be impressed by a BlackBerry in 2017.
Now, given the fact that you're the reviewer of the site and that you basically swap SIM cards between phones all the time, if BlackBerry or any of the other manufacturers this year said, you can pick one phone you've reviewed this year to keep.
Are we talking here like for me to keep
you know
it?
What? Just sell it on later. We should actually save that question for our Christmas podcast.
Let's keep that question.
Yeah, the year's still young. Well, not young.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's 2017 has been 10 years long.
There's still a lot.
Not 10 months, 10
there's
years.
There's still a lot of the year left is what I'm saying. Maybe you'll get another phone.
4 months.
Yeah. Elon Musk uses an HTC Droid. He answered that in June of this year, so that's recent.
Every techie in the world I know uses an HTC if they can get their hands on it.
I think that's pretty much all the time we've got for this week.
Brendan, you are a recording person. Do we have more time or not?
I think that's it.
No, we are out of time. So.
Okay. Everybody, thank you for joining us again. All the links to things we mentioned will be under the podcast, and we hope we'll see you next week.
No, I hope. Well, we will see you next week.
See me or them?
Well, us.
Oh, yes, we all see each other.
I hope I see you too.
Yeah, me too. I hope I'm not a ghost. If everybody would give us some feedback, tell us if the podcast sounds different this week.
Please.
I wonder if me mentioning this will make them say, oh, actually, it does sound a bit different.
And also, if you'd like to leave us a comment, please do in the space below.
From myself and from Nick.
Well, goodbye. I am seeing Blade Runner 2049 this week.
Launches
I will
soon.
Be telling you all about it next week.
And from Brendan.
Cheerio, see you all at Rage.
Oh yeah, that's this Friday. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.